you would be mindful of it as he is able to bring the message in which the Lord has impressed upon his heart, that we might listen and have our prayers in his behalf as he would deliver that message. So I'll give to you now our brother Ricky also.
Well, good evening. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to speak with you this evening and share what God has put on my heart for the church this day. This is a sermon that is for myself as well as for anyone else. I think we find that quite often as ministry, at least I do myself. That as I prepare for a sermon, I find lessons that are good for me to see, things that I need to improve on, and I see my own flaws many times. So I'd like to start in the Book of Mormon, page 362. This is the 12th chapter of Alma, starting in the first verse. And now it came to pass that as Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southward away to the land of Manti, behold, to his astonishment, he met the sons of Mosiah journeying towards the land of Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. When added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord, yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. For they were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the scripture diligently that they might know the word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. When they taught with power and authority, even as the power and authority of God. And they had been teaching the word of God for a space of 14 years among the Lamanites, having had much success in bringing many to the knowledge of the truth. Yea, by the power of their words, many were brought before the altar of God to call on his name and confess their sins before him. And now these are the circumstances which attended them in their journeyings, for they had many afflictions. They did suffer much, both in body, in mind, such as hunger, thirst, and fatigue, and also much labor in the spirit. When I think about this, how that was accomplished, I look at what is written here in the Book of Mormon and what the sons of Mosiah accomplished. They went into the land of their enemies to spread the word of God. And it says here they suffered fatigue and much labor in the spirit, hunger, and thirst. And they did this for 14 years. And so there's a great sacrifice that was made. They spent a good portion of their time, of their life, they dedicated to that work. And it wasn't always rosy. It wasn't always wonderful. They suffered for it. But they made that sacrifice. And so God was able to use them. He was able to use them as an instrument . And now these were their journeys, having taken leave of their father Mosiah in the first year of the reign of Judges, having refused the kingdom which their father was desirous to confer upon them. And also, this was the mind of the people. Nevertheless, they departed out of the land of Zarahemla and took their swords and their spears and their bows and their arrows and their slings. And this they did that they might provide food for themselves while in the wilderness. And thus they departed unto the wilderness with their numbers, which they had selected to go up to the land of Nephi to preach the word of God unto the Lamanites. And it came to pass that they journeyed many days in the wilderness, and they fasted much and prayed much, that the Lord would grant unto them a portion of his spirit to go with them and abide with them, that they might be an instrument in the hands of God to bring, if it were possible, their brethren, the Lamanites, to the knowledge of the truth. So they made a sacrifice. They looked to God, and they fasted and prayed and offered themselves to be an instrument in God's hands. And if you ever really think about what that takes, many times we desire that. We hope that in some way that we would be helpful to a brother or be able to spread and help spread the gospel, and that we would be take part in someone else having joy in the gospel and the word of God. And they did this through a sacrifice. And so I look at that as an example of what I need to do. Not so much that, you know, I need to go to some place like they went to, but willing to serve God and desirous to be an instrument in God's hands above all. And so when you really think about what that means, if you think about a tool that's in a carpenter's hands or an artist's hands, a paintbrush, what it does. And it doesn't do anything except for what the Creator has in his mind to use that tool for. And that's the kind of submission that they did and that they gave themselves over to. And that's what we need to do. That's what I need to do, is to be willing to submit to God in that fashion. If we want to be a tool or an instrument in God's hands, we've got to be willing to do that. And so there's a sacrifice that has to be done. And they did that in their time. They were willing to suffer. They were willing to afflict themselves in the spirit in fasting and prayer. And so all those things we must do. It's impossible without it. If we think about all the different stories in the Bible, the accounts that of the Lord's work and his hand in the lives of people, when God was able to do the most good for anyone, when God was able to use anyone, it's because they would submit. And yes, there's times when in the scriptures when God has used people to fulfill his plan, and they weren't even aware of it. But that's not our desire. It's not our desire that we would be a tool in God's hands and not be aware of it. We want to know. We want to have that joy and that peace, knowing that we've pleased our Heavenly Father. And that's what we want to do. And so I look at this and I think, well, this is what I need to do. I need to be willing to make a sacrifice. And we all need to be willing to make that sacrifice. And it's expected of us as members in the kingdom of God. It's our reasonable service. And we might all be asked to do the same thing. The sacrifice that comes to each one of us won't be the same. But if we want to accomplish God's purpose in our lives, if we want God to work with us and through us and to be part of us and to abide with us as he did the sons of Mosiah, we have to be willing to submit to God. just like the song that Laura sang to us this morning, all of our heart, all of it, because that's what it requires. In verse 15, that they might be an instrument in the hands of God to bring, if it were possible, their brethren, the Lamanites, to the knowledge of the truth, to the knowledge of the baseness of the traditions of their fathers, which were not correct. And it came to pass that the Lord did visit them with his spirit and said unto them, be comforted, and they were comforted. How many times do you think about your loved ones and your friends, and you think, oh, if I could just be an example to them, if I could just explain to them why I feel the way I feel, could I say the right thing that would prick their heart and cause that they might turn to God? Well, this is what they did. They brought them to the knowledge of the baseness of the traditions of their fathers. And they did this through their example and the way they lived their life. When we read in the Book of Mormon about the things that the sons of Mosiah endured, they endured imprisonment, they suffered death eventually. They were willing to submit themselves. Would you be willing to submit yourself to someone else, if necessary, to convince them of who you believe and why you believe in Jesus Christ? And if you had to submit yourself to even be a servant, in every sense of the word, to wait on them, take care of their needs, be patient with them, and endure affliction, would you be willing to do that? Because that might be what it takes. And that's what they had to do. And they did it. And they did it, and it accomplished a great work. And many were saved, and many were brought to the knowledge of the Lord. And the Lord also said, and the Lord said unto them also, go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word. Yet ye shall be patient in long suffering and afflictions, that ye may show forth good examples unto them in me. And I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. So do you think about that? When you think about being an instrument in God's hands, are you willing to be an example in everything? It means you have to have long suffering and patience with others all of the time. And you think about how a servant is or would be to a master, or you think about how it is when you're at your employ or in your job. You're given a set of instructions and you take care of those duties that you're obligated to. Are you willing to do just that much for a fellow being or another man or a brother or a sister? And it came to pass that the hearts of the sons of Mosiah and also those who were with them took courage to go forth unto the Lamanites to declare unto them the word of God. And it came to pass that they had arrived on the borders of the land of the Lamanites, that they separated themselves and departed one from another, trusting in the Lord that they should meet again at the close of their harvest. For they supposed that great was the work that they had undertaken. And assuredly it was great, for they had undertaken to preach the word of God to a wild and hardened and a fierce people, a people who delighted in murdering the Nephites and robbing and plundering them. And their hearts were set upon riches, or upon gold and silver and precious stones. So they went to teach the word of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, salvation to people who were in direct opposite of how they thought or what they believed to be true or what they held dear. And they went. And they set an example. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing? Let's go to Romans 12 chapter. Starting in the first verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think of, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, a living sacrifice. To present ourselves a living sacrifice, not conformed to this world, but renewed. Transformed into that instrument in God's hands. That's what we need to be. We need to do. Willing to be transformed by the Word of God and by the hand of God to what He would desire us to do and be, that His will would be accomplished. And giving ourselves over to God and allowing Him to make those changes in our lives and being an example to everyone around us, in doing that, we can find comfort, we can find peace and safety, we can please God and ultimately have salvation and eternal life and happiness. If we reject that, if we remain prideful, and if we're not willing, He may not be able to accomplish in our lives what it would take to save us. In the sons of Mosiah, they submitted themselves to God, and because they did that, and they were willing, they became great in the Word of God. And they were able to do mighty things because of the Spirit that was with them. Do you think that had they not done that, had they not submitted themselves to God, do you think they would have found themselves standing before God, pleasing Him in the end? I think not. I think God fully expected them to do what they did. And had they done any less, they would have come short of what was required of them. And so I think that's how it is for all of us. If we do any less than what God has required us to do, we'll fall short. And He will not be able to work in our lives, not only to the salvation of others, but our own salvation. You know, they suffered afflictions. And we suffer afflictions in this life. There's illnesses. We have struggles in our jobs. We have struggles with one another. We have all kinds of things that try us. And if God just took them away completely and everything was peaceful and wonderful all the time, where would our faith be, and how would it be tested, and how would it become strong, and how would we be that example to somebody else of someone who is faithful and steadfast and worthy? So, what does that mean? That means if we cannot be that example, we cannot be used. And if we want to be used, we must be that example. And sometimes we'll have to suffer. And our affliction, whatever it is, whatever it may be, might be the very thing that is an example to somebody else that they need to see, so that they can see in us the truth of what we believe. And so we have to be willing to be submissive to God in every way, to whatever comes to us. So our bodies, our lives must be that living sacrifice. That's pretty humbling. That's when you think about it. So if we desire God to use us as that example and truly mean that in our heart, we need to be willing and ready for whatever comes our way. Because we don't know how it is that he will accomplish what he needs to save another. We don't know how it is or what he would do or what he needs to do to save a nation or a whole group of people. Whatever that is. Let's go to James chapter 4. Beginning in the first verse. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith, in vain the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so we must be humble and submissive. It says here that the world is an enemy to God. And we're instructed not to be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. In verse 5 it says, do you think that the Spirit saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? You know, sin, we think about sin, and we, each one of us, we look within ourselves, and by the grace of God, He shows us what we need to change, what we need to correct, so that we can be closer to Him. And we take it personal. We think about our sin, that it's ours. And it belongs to us, and it truly does. But that's where we stop. We don't think about what it does to everybody else. We think, well, if what's it to you sitting out there, what is it to you if I sin? Me. Well, if I sin, standing up here in front of you right now, if I sinned, you wouldn't have much faith in what I'm saying, and you wouldn't have a reason to believe in anything that I believe, or anything that I'm trying to tell you that I believe. So your sin, it affects more than just you. Your sin affects everyone around you, because everyone sees it. If they don't see the sin that you commit specifically, they still see the result it has in you. They still see what it does to you. Because what it does to you is it separates you from the body of Christ. It separates you from God. And they see that, and they know it. And they see it in the example that you live. And they see it or don't see it in when you're trying to be an example to someone else of a believer in Jesus Christ. And so it doesn't just affect you. So it is truly as it says, it lusteth to envy. The sin in one, that spirit of sin in one, causes another one to fall, because they can't see the example of God in your life. When you do that, when you commit sin. And so how can we or I be an instrument in God's hands if we continue in sin? If we remain prideful. So, think about that when you think about the sin that's in your life. Now, all of a sudden, you have a different point of view of your sin. And you can say within yourself, well, I know I shouldn't do that, but after all, I'm only human. And we hear that a lot. Maybe next time you should think, well, I know I really shouldn't do that because I could cause someone else to fall. Someone I love. Someone I care about. Someone that's important to me. That I would cause them to stumble. That I would displease God. And so, it says here in the seventh verse, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore is one, there is one lawgiver who is able to save, to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And so we're to submit ourselves one to another and not speak evil of one another. And be willing to mourn and weep. Humble ourselves in the sight of God that He can lift us up. You know, when we get angry and frustrated with one another, and we let that out, somebody sees it. You know, we're not being a good example, obviously, of someone who is a believer in Jesus Christ. And so, sometimes we have to suffer. Sometimes we have to set aside our own thoughts, our own convictions sometimes. Sometimes we have to put aside those things that are causing that frustration and that anger and just ignore it. If you have to make that sacrifice. Because it's kind of a selfish thing, really, when you think about it, to get angry. Because all of a sudden, when you get angry, I've thought about it, what happens in me when I get angry. I do it. We all do. It's just part of us. It's part of what we're supposed to learn to change that part of us. We're supposed to bring that part of us into submission. And sometimes it's the first part of us that people see or remember. But sometimes, you know, you might have to just set it aside. Because when we get angry, it's kind of, we allow ourselves to do that. It's really a selfish thing. Because we're giving in to our own desires, we're giving in to what we think is right. And we don't care what the other person thinks or what they're feeling, or we just know we're right. And we're going to make that point, and that's it. That's just how it is. That's how we are sometimes. And when we do that, we're not being submissive, and we're not being willing to suffer for God. Because the suffering is not always about the lack of food or the lack of money or a roof over your head. That suffering sometimes is about what's going on inside of you in your heart and having to bite your tongue so that you don't offend somebody and so that someone doesn't see that in you, so that someone sees a believer in Jesus Christ. You might have to bite your tongue and afflict your soul. And it's necessary. And so when you think about being a servant, when you think about being an instrument in God's hands, and what that little piece of sin does, it's not affecting just you, it's affecting everyone around you. And it goes, and it lusts to envy, and it begets more sin, and it creates more trouble. Let's go to James chapter 2, beginning in the 14th verse. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not these things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Well, we can understand that. We can look at that, and we know it does no, absolutely no good to say to a man or who is poor and destitute and has no way to feed his family and no way to feed himself or put clothes on his back, just to say to him, go feed yourself. Go find food for your family. Go have faith. And what have you done? Nothing. Nothing. And our example is the same way. If we try to spread the word of God to others and we say, believe in Jesus Christ and have faith, and we don't have that example in our lives, and we don't have those works, what have we done? How will they believe us? We've done nothing. As it says, here our faith must have works. And so, if we are to convince others, get others to see the truth in Jesus Christ, we must have works. And we must show that example and suffer and make a sacrifice, whatever it may be. And sometimes it is giving food and giving money, and sometimes it's being patient and long-suffering, and sometimes it's being steadfast and faithful in an affliction or a trial when everything else in the world tells you to give up. And so we have to suffer just like the sons of Mosiah did. We have to labor just like the sons of Mosiah did. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not the Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without the works is dead also. So we need to be a living sacrifice, and our faith needs to have works. And we need to be humble and willing to be used by God and to suffer. In Peter, 1 Peter, 1st chapter, starting in verse 13, says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope for the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foretold before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And so we believe in God because of Jesus Christ, because he made the sacrifice that we would see the truth in the Word of God, an example. And so are you willing to be Christ-like? That's what it means to be Christ-like, to be submissive and willing to our Heavenly Father, and to show that to others, that they would see it in you, that your faith would not be dead, that it would have works, would have those works of long-suffering and forgiveness and mercy of one to another, and a belief in Jesus Christ. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men as the flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as ye newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have fasted, that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built upon the spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. So we are to make spiritual sacrifices. Not just sacrifices of the body, not just sacrifices of our earthly wealth, not just sacrifices of those creature comforts that we enjoy so much, but we're to make spiritual sacrifices. Those are the things that are the most difficult. Those are the things that we struggle with the most. So when that sin comes upon, when that temptation for sin comes up to us, and there's something that just we desire, we want it, we want to take part in it, we have to sacrifice. We have to set that aside and make that spiritual sacrifice and mortify the deeds of the flesh. And sacrifice and kill that sin. That it would be dead within us. That we would not injure the body. And the same thing when it comes to forgiveness and anger and hatred. We have to sacrifice all of those things and give them up and not have them in us. It's a luxury that we should not have. To keep those things within us is a sin. And so we need to sacrifice, just like Jesus Christ, and put them away. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which was the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbleth at the word, being disobedient, whereunto as also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so we must have those good works and show them. A peculiar people. You know, if this is accomplished within us, we truly would be a peculiar people. A royal priesthood. That's what we're called to do. To make that sacrifice. You know, we're coming, we're drawing up into the close of the year, and we're heading into conference. And that's one of the places that one of the times that we really need God's direction. And we really need to know what His plan is, and what He wants us to do, and how He wants us to labor. And our strength is small. We can only do so much. And the effort that we can put forth as a body is small. And if we don't do it, if we don't make the effort in this world under God's direction, it will bear no fruits. And it's only through God that anything can be done, and anything can be accomplished in His work. And so we need His direction, and we need to know that minuscule little effort that we're making is the right one. And so we've got to be willing to listen to that. So we're coming up into prayer services for conference. And so it's an opportunity to submit yourself, to make a sacrifice, set aside time in fasting and prayer for the work of the Lord, that we can be directed by His Spirit, that we can know what it is that we're supposed to do. Separate ourselves. Make a sacrifice. And be willing to be used as a tool in His hands. And so as those things are brought before conference and we discuss them and we meditate on them and we try to make a decision as to what we should do or what should we accept, put it out of your mind. And keep within your heart and put in your mind that you want to do the will of God. And that you're willing to accept what He has for us. No matter how much or how convinced you are that you know the right thing, or that you know what it is that we should do. Because if we are to be that peculiar people that's spoken of here, we can only do that if we subject ourselves to God in everything. In everything that we can, that we possibly can. Go to 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. Starting in the 8th verse. Finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him speak peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so what that tells me, that it's necessary. If we want God to hear our prayers, if we want him to see our efforts and to help us, we have to do that. We have to be that peculiar people. Have that brotherly love. And not just talk about faith, but have faith. And not just talk about being an example, be an example. And pull ourselves out of the world. And allow ourselves to be afflicted in every way, spiritually and physically, to labor with our mites, to be drawn out to our brothers and our fellow being. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid for their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. I'd like to go to Isaiah. Chapter 58. Starting in the first verse. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore, have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, if you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness, you shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. But this is what we are to do. Is it such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down in his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? And so that's the fast that's before us, that we break every yoke, every sin, whatever it might be, every lust, whatever it might be, every prideful desire, whatever that might be, that we break every yoke. That's the fast that we are to have today. That's how we are to separate ourselves from the world. It's how we are to be a peculiar people, that we might please God, that we can show forth an example of faith in long-suffering and meekness, that others might see in us the testimony of Jesus Christ. That they can receive the gospel, that we might all be saved. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. And then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. You know, sometimes I hear, you know, sermons, people say in conversation, they'll say, why don't we have the spiritual gifts that we used to have? Or why don't we have the direction that we need? And then they begin to pick apart their brother in the church and to say, well, it's because we're doing this or they're doing that. And all of these things. And we ought not to do that. For it's up to the Lord, when to have mercy and when not. It's up to us to be meek and humble and look to Him. It's up to the ministry to look after Christ's church. It's His work, and we should do well. And then thou shalt call on the Lord, and He shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, the speaking vanity. And it is a yoke. It is a yoke when we put forth the finger. And I, like I said, this sermon is as much for me as anyone else. When we put forth a finger, we take on that yoke. And we're to fast, and this is the fast that we're to have, to break those yokes and to remove them, that we can hear God. And if thou draw thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, Then shalt thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build of the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the preparer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So that's the fast that we are to have, to break every yoke, to turn our way to God's way, to turn from the pleasures of the world, to separate ourselves and to come out of it, to be humble and submissive, and to be willing to be used as a tool in the Lord's hands, that His purpose can be accomplished in our life and others, that we can be saved, that God can be glorified. That the great work that this little church of Christ has to do can be accomplished. It's the only way, with a sacrifice. A sacrifice of your time and a sacrifice to afflict your soul, to be ready to be in service, to be willing for the sake of your God and your Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time.